I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Marima and Karen. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So today we're going to discuss, finally, I think Marima's been talking about this book for like months on end, Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by
Becky Albertalli.
Thank you. I knew her first name, and I was like, how do you say her last name? By Becky Albertalli. And we'll get to that in a minute, and I think we are all going to have a lot to say about that book. So, but first, let's get started on what we have been currently reading. So, Miss Karen, what have you been reading?
Okay, so the first one that I read was Bear Witness by Melissa Clark. And first of all, Melissa Clark is like super cool. I don't know if you guys have read anything about her yet. She's done tons of things, but she was also the creator of Brace Space. Did you guys watch that when you were kids?
No.
Oh my God.
What is that?
It's just a cartoon about this girl with braces, and I don't know. I just really loved it. So I was kind of like, huh, I interviewed the creator of Brace Space. That was just a good nostalgia throwback.
Wait, oh my God, I do know that. Mm-hmm. I just Googled it.
Yeah.
I have no memory of what it was, but I'm going to watch it again now.
It was really
like, cute. Not literally now, but I will get to that at some point.
Okay.
That's exciting. Can't believe you interviewed the creator of Brace Face. Oh my God.
I know. But Bear Witness is an older, sort of darker book, and it was pretty good, actually. It's about this girl who saw her best friend get kidnapped, and it's about after the trial, after everything, and it's just about her trying to live her daily life and sort of not getting over the fact that her best friend was taken, but just kind of coming to terms with that and how people treat her and everything. And it's more of a story about like the survivor and after the fact rather than during what happens. But the cool thing about it is that it's actually written backwards in a lot of ways. You start out currently and you kind of get a feel for what had happened, and then slowly each section is a different year and it goes back in time so that you get her a couple of years after her best friend was taken, and then you get it like during the trial, then you get it during the sleepover when it happens, and then before you get like a snapshot of what they were like when the girl was still around. And it was pretty cool, and it's a small, sort of easy read, but it's very deep, and it has a really good message, so I really liked that. I think it was a different take on that whole sort of story. And then I read Talon by Julie Kagawa. Have we talked about this before?
Ages ago.
Okay, I thought so, but I decided to download it on Audible. And I really like it. I mean, it's like a 12-hour audiobook, which is super long, but I have a lot of home improvements stuff to do, so I just play it while I'm, like, scraping paint and stuff. And it's really good. It's about dragons, and the second one is out, too, so I'm going to download that because I really liked it.
Awesome. Have you ever read any of Julie Kagawa's other stuff? She has, like, a whole fairy series that's really popular.
No, but I think maybe I will now.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, that fairy series. I really liked it. So definitely check that out as well.
I will.
I think you will be interested. Hey, Marima, have you been doing any reading this week?
I have, but I can't remember what I have read because I am losing my mind. Okay, one thing I did read is I read J.K. Rowling's Very Good Lives, I believe it's called, which is the book version of the Harvard commencement speech that she gave back in 2008, I want to say, and they turned it into a book, and you can buy it. But you know what? I actually really, really liked it. Like, I've obviously seen the speech. I think everyone in the world has probably seen the speech, but it's done really well. It's done really beautifully with these like graphic black and white and kind of shades of red illustrations, and you know, with sort of like typography and things to like illustrate various parts. And it would be like a really nice gift to give to someone on their graduation, or like, you know how everyone gives that Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go?
Yeah.
I don't know. like everyone gives you that book at like a big event in your life. I feel like this will replace that, and this will be the book that you are now given. But it's really cute, and all the money is going to charity. So, you know, all of her, all of the money that she's getting from it, I think she's giving like 10% to the Harvard, some assistance program at Harvard, and then the other 90% is going to her charity Lumos. So it's all for a good cause, and you know, if you're into JK Rowling, I'm sure you'll want to complete the set and it will look really nice on your shelf. and if you need to like buy a present from someone or whatever, you could totally pick it up. But yeah, I can't remember because I wasn't on last episode, and I just like can't remember what I was up to before then. So I will read lots before next time, and then I will report back then. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. Okay, so I read a book called 99 Days by Katie Contugno, and it comes out sometime this spring. And I don't know what it is with books lately, but some of them have the worst wishy-washy female characters. Like, I'm surprised I finished this book, to be really honest. It was really that annoying. Like, the main female character, I just wanted to strangle her. It was terrible. She basically, the plotline is, she is best friends with this family of siblings. So it's her best friend is the sister, and then she's kind of dating one of the boys, and then the other boy's older, but he's always kind of around and in the picture. And the idea is that she's dating the one boy, Patrick, and they're like sophomores in high school, and he breaks up with her. She randomly, that same night before she leaves the house, sleeps with his brother, and then when she confesses to her mom about it, her mom's an author who's been having writer's block, so her mom writes an entire book about it, and then proceeds to go on national tour and tell everybody that it's based on her daughter's life. So there's like, the daughter's kind of slut-shamed a little bit, and then she takes off to boarding school, and she comes back the summer before college, and she's only gone a year. So she's back with the summer before college, and basically she's got a countdown. It's 99 days until she goes to Boston to go to school. But in this 99 days, she runs into the older brother, Gabe, and starts dating him. And then the boy that she was dating comes back, and she kind of starts like messing around with him on the side. And basically that's the story. There's nothing to it. There's no redeeming quality to any of these characters. There's just, I was not okay with it at all. So, I don't know.
That guess sounds terrible.
A read at your own risk kind of book. Because I was just like, what's the point of this book? And she's a horrible character. Like, she never, like, there was never any, like, reason for it. It just, it was. And I'm like, no, this is not how the world works. This is not okay. Anyway. I don't know. So, it's a read at your own risk. And then another book that I was listening to kind of on my drive, because I was on vacation. So I was listening to a book. It's called Famous in Love, and it came out a while back. And again, it was a really wishy-washy female character. And I'm like, what is – I did not have a lot of good luck this week with books. They were all very wishy-washy. It was not okay. So yeah. So if anyone has any non-wishy-washy female lead characters, I would love to hear about those books, because – I feel like all I've found is the wishy-washy, and I'm not okay with it. Or the ridiculous. Like, some of it's kind of, like, really ridiculous. And I'm like, no, I'm not okay with that. So, but let's move on and talk about a book that I really am okay with, because I feel like it's time to discuss Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda.
Yay!
Okay, that was really loud, dude. I'm like, oh my god, that was so loud in my ears. All right, so... do we even need to go through buy or borrow? Karen, I was going to say, Karen, are you going to buy or borrow?
Well, I'm just kidding. I love this book like, so much.
Karen, don't make me.
I like 3 copies and just give it to everybody.
That was my thing. I'm going to like, you need to buy a copy for yourself. Then you need to buy a copy for the school library, the public library. Any friends that may be idiots or, you know, not quite get things, you need to buy them a copy too. Maybe duplicate so they really get, you know, the picture. But definitely everyone should be buying this book. Like, everyone. It is so good. And it is a super fast read. Like, it did not take long to read this book because you just want to know. There's so much going on. So, Let's talk a little bit about the writing, because for me, that is really what is key in this book. Like, the characters are likable, the plot line's great, but the way that Becky Albertalini writes is just like, I don't know, it's so perfectly teenager without being condescending or without being like pseudo-intellectual. It's so well done. So how do you guys feel about the writing? Which is obviously a silly question, but please answer.
Gonna let Karen talk because I feel like I've talked about this forever at this point. But yeah, I did an interview with her, and I thought it was really interesting because she's like a clinical psychiatrist,
She's a clinical psychologist. Yeah.
Psychologist. And she also works with like a support group for teenagers. And I think through that, she's obviously really listened to like teenager, just like speech pattern and things like that, because she just nails the voice of all the different characters so well. And for me, I think that was one of the most impressive parts of this that I just still can't really get over, is that it's her debut, that it's like the first book that she's written and it is this strong and this good. And, you know, I know that seems, I think there's a plane above my head. I don't know if everyone else can hear that.
You can totally hear that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not on a flight path, so I'm concerned by that. But anyway, I think that's one of the strongest parts of this book. And like, it's all super strong. But yeah, Karen, please disagree with me, but
no.
Don't, because I'll kill you.
No, I definitely don't disagree. That's one of the things that I noticed right from like basically the first page, is that the voice is so, so good and so realistic. It's not over the top. This is how people really talk. And there's even one like sentence in there where Simon goes, "I can't even." And like, how many times have we said that? You know, I mean, she knows, she gets it. And I think that's what really makes the characters come alive. And I mean, aside from that, the whole book is just fantastic. But I think if you don't have a strong voice, that it can still fall kind of flat. So the fact that she really nailed that, I think just kind of puts this above and beyond.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just think it was just so easy to read, and there weren't really any like cringeworthy moments where you're like, oh, that dialogue didn't work, or oh, that idea is so done. Like, it wasn't a caricature of a teenager or a gay teenager or anything like that. It was just straight up, you felt like you knew them right away because they were normal. There wasn't anything that was kind of, you know, blown up or made bigger about their personalities or their characters. They just were who they were, which is really refreshing, because sometimes you get that one little element of who they are and it gets blown out of proportion just to identify them. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't feel like there was a lot of that going on in the book. There wasn't, not everyone had like a tag or a label. I mean, you knew what roles they were, but you didn't, you know, have to worry about this person is like the cheerleader and this person is the this. It wasn't so obvious in who they were as characters, even though in general you kind of knew what roles they were playing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think even further than that, like, she goes kind of out of her way to subvert that trope in general, because she does, there are some characters that she sort of pigeonholes, and actually most characters are sort of pigeonholed when you first meet them, because Simon kind of pigeonholes the different characters. And then as the book continues, you discover that like they all have things going on behind the scenes, like, you know, the quote unquote mean girl in the play is like the first person to defend him when, you know, he's being bullied in the rehearsals and things like that. I was really impressed with the way that, even though it's very obviously Simon's story and, you know, it's Simon centric, there is the sense that like if you were to sort of shift the gaze of the book to like any of these other characters, their life would be just as interesting. You know, it would be interesting enough to have a book about it, because it was as full as Simon's was. It's just that we were only getting glimpses of it. And yeah, I think that like ties into what you're saying, that the characters were not in labels, or they weren't in like tropes or stereotypes or anything like that. And yeah, the secondary characters I could like go on and on about forever, although, you know, I love Simon as well. But yeah, I think she did a great job of that. as well. It's just, this podcast is going to be so boring. It's just like, yeah, it was, this bit was so good. And then like, I really, do you guys agree that this bit? Yeah. And then, I totally agree. Like, this was, oh, and I love this bit. Oh my God. I totally love that as well. Like, oh, sorry guys. We'll read something that we hate next time to make up for it.
No, we won't, because my book is good. Okay. Wait till Karen's book choice. It's fine.
Yeah. That's true. Oh! That's more likely.
Oh, that's, you're so mean to me.
I know, but we love you. It's okay.
Well, all right. You can't be mean to the book, Karen. So, like, it can't be a whole positive book hype. People will be so confused.
They'll think someone, like, took over our bodies or something. It's fine. All right. So, let's talk about the plot. So, the basic concept of this book is that Simon is gay, but he hasn't really told anyone. And he's been conversing with another student at his school, but they kind of use code names, so neither one of them know who they are. And they met kind of on the Tumblr, as they call it throughout the entire book. And so they start up an email conversation. So they email constantly, but they don't know who each other are. And at the very opening of the book, unfortunately, Simon was checking his email at school, and the person that got on the computer after Simon saw the emails. And he basically is blackmailing Simon into helping him with this girl, Abby, who is Simon's friend. And everyone kind of is, like, in love with Abby. She's got, like, this new girl syndrome, you know? When a new girl comes to school, all the boys go crazy for the new girl. It's kind of like that. And so it kind of goes from there with this blackmailing and trying to include Martin in things and then trying to figure out who he is and kind of just moving forward in that sense of, well, he wants to really meet Blue and he really likes Blue, but Blue's very, very hesitant. And Blue is the code name that the other person uses. So it kind of just goes from there. And so what did you guys think about the whole idea of the blackmail plot?
Well, I wanted to say that I'm glad that it started off this way right from the beginning. I mean, we didn't have to wait for the conflict to start. And sometimes in books, like, they take so long to sort of set up the universe. And obviously that's a bigger thing in, like, fantasy books. But we got right to the crux of the problem right within the first few pages. And I really liked that about the story. In terms of the blackmailing, like, I don't know. I mean, Martin is such an interesting character, and I don't hate him, but I don't particularly like him either. And I kind of, like, I see where he's coming from, but to do what he did to somebody else is just, it's so horrible. And, I mean, we'll get back to, you know, what he did later on in the story, but the blackmail, I thought it was interesting that from the beginning he didn't want to admit that it was blackmail. He didn't say that. And I think that it's because he was feeling guilty and that he didn't really want to do it, but he was sort of desperate.
Yeah,
I just really don't like Martin, but, like, I understand what you're saying. I guess you kind of feel sorry for him a little by the end of it, but, like, what I like is that she didn't try and redeem him, you know, and like you said, he feels kind of weird. He obviously seems to feel a little weird about what he's doing. Like, he knows it's not okay because he kind of won't admit it and he won't come outright and say it. And like later on in the book, he says, like, oh, I would never, like, tell anyone. And Simon's like, yeah, okay, like, you still have that screenshot, so, you know, just don't mind me if I take that with, like, a huge grain of salt. But yeah, I guess by the end of it, you sort of feel sorry for him. But, like, what he does just makes me so furious that, like, when I was reading this, and I've read the book a couple of times now, like, every time I've read, I've just been like, oh, Martin, like, you're the worst. And I still feel like that, but maybe it's, you know, tempered slightly. I don't know.
Yeah, see, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to complain more about him, so you feel free.
Okay, well, I think part of it is there are moments where had he just tried to be their friend, I think it would have worked out fine. I don't think he necessarily needed the blackmail, because there were times that you glimpsed them hanging out and stuff, and it's actually normal. So had he just approached it as trying to be friends, it would have been a completely different situation. Instead, he goes about it and blackmails them. And I mean, we can talk about it. He eventually is the one who outs Simon. He gets angry about something because Abby eventually rejects him. And he posts on Tumblr all about Simon, which is so, like, it's just like, it's so awful and horrible and how he does it. And then he tries to make up for it later going, but like, well, you know, just, you know, I actually took it down before it got moderated, which doesn't make it any better. Like, you can't take back something once you've thrown it on the internet like that. And I think so many times that's what people miss. And I think that was a really interesting point to highlight, that it doesn't matter that you took it back. It was still done. And once it's out there, you can't take it back. And so, yeah, Martin is hard. He's a hard character because there were moments that you glimpsed and he's like, yep, he could fit. It works. It's great. But at the same time, you're like, but wait, the only reason he's even there is because of how he went about it, which was so completely the wrong way.
Yeah. So, and I also feel like Martin kind of plays that typical teenager role of, like Simon in some ways, you know, he's very focused on himself. He just can't see sort of outside of himself how these actions are going to affect other people. And he does seem like genuinely surprised later on at the treatment that Simon receives when he outs him to like this Georgian like high school in the middle of nowhere. Like, oh yeah, great. That's going to go down really well. You know, I think, yeah, aside from, I'm sure we'll get to like some of the sort of, Simon makes a great kind of speech where he says like, you know, you took that away from me. Like that was my choice to like do that when I want to. But, you know, it, like Martin, you kind of feel like he hasn't really thought it through either. So in a way it's not as malicious as like it appears to be. It's kind of just stupid what he's doing because he doesn't seem like he's not going out of his way to like hurt Simon until he makes a Tumblr post, and then he seems like, oh, like it'll be fine, like no one will care, and then obviously everyone cares, and he seems, oh, I'm really surprised by that, you know, you have to forgive me for that. And Simon's like, I don't have to forgive you for anything, like get out of my face. But you know, like he makes the apology at the end. He's a complicated character, which I like, even though I don't like him. Like I can appreciate the construction of his character, and you know, I like that he's not kind of cartoony because he could have been, because he's kind of the only like quote unquote bad guy in the book, really. And I don't like him, but you know, I can understand. I can't even understand where he's coming from. That's the thing. But like, I can understand his existence. I'll leave it there. That's it.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the emails that are mixed throughout the book. I think this is a really clever way to have conversations between these two characters that can't actually like meet face to face for the moment. And it kind of adds some mystery to the book about who Blue could possibly be. So I really like the conversations they had because they felt super open, because again, there is some like hidden identity thing, which is useful, I guess, when you're in a complicated situation like these guys are. So how did you guys, like, what did you guys think about the inclusion of the way the emails were sparse throughout the book?
I loved it. I thought that this was so clever because we got to get a sense of Blue right alongside Simon. And that was really important because he's basically the other main character of the book, even though we don't meet him technically until the end. So I think, you know, I started looking forward to the chapters with the emails because it was just another glimpse into this kind of secret world. And we got to see a little bit more of a development of Simon as well, because, you know, we could see what he revealed about himself and what he didn't. And I thought that was really cool. Also, being the grammar nerd that I am, I really loved that they had mistakes in their emails, that there were typos, that there were like autocorrect issues. It made it feel so real. And it was so funny some of the times when Simon would email him like 3 times and, you know, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that, like autocorrect. This is why I don't email you on my phone. And there were just like little mistakes mixed throughout. And I thought that was just really cool.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm in general like a really big fan. I think I've talked about this. I'm a really big fan of epistolary novels. So Like the Jacqueline Moriarty has a fantastic series, and the entire thing's written in notes and emails and letters. And I really like that construct for a book. So yeah, I liked the way that they were kind of inserted throughout the novel. And I also think they were necessary because, like Karen said, they offer something that we can't see from Simon's perspective. And, you know, whether that's like his like weird awkwardness with like the autocorrect, and, you know, the way that he talks to Blue is a way that is different from the way he talks to anyone else, and the way that he sort of self-examines things. So it was a nice balance. And I also think they did a really good job. I was curious, actually, I wanted to know this when I first read it, because I did not guess who Blue was, but I knew it wasn't, what's his name? Cal?
Cal, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, like he goes on and on about how it's Cal, and then he says this thing about, you know, my parents always teasing me about like Simon logic, where I go like, oh, like there's no evidence for this thing that I want to be true. It must be right. And I was like, okay, so it's not that guy, but like, who is it? And did you guys guess who it was?
I did. And the only reason I did was because they talked about grammar and everything so much. And then in English class, he gets back the wrong paper. So between the grammar thing and then getting back the wrong paper and looking at the guy's grade, that's like perfect. And then talking about how the Blue was so quiet around people and he didn't talk. And then the description of that character is always that he's so quiet and watching. So those two things made me guess who it was. Because I guess basically after he got the English paper back that wasn't his, I figured it might be that guy.
Yeah, I had a moment like halfway through the book. It wasn't that. There's a moment in one of Blue's emails where Simon's saying it's the worst that straight people don't have to come out. Like, why is it only gay people who have to come out? Why is straight the default? And Blue replies and says, yeah, why is straight the default, or white for that matter? And I was like, oh, like, okay. And that just stood out to me. So then I was like, okay, maybe it's, you know, but maybe it's not, because was like, oh, don't be Martin, like, don't make it be a joke,
oh,
because
yeah.
I'll be so sad when they got terrible. To that bit. But
yeah.
Karen, what about you?
I had a couple of different people throughout the book that I was like, oh, is this? And Jen, the part with him getting the paper back, that was like a clue. And I sort of set him off to the side and was like, maybe it is him. And that was in the back of my mind for a good part of the book. At one point, like very early on, I was like, oh my God, is it Nick? That would be kind of exciting.
Oh.
It was like his best friend. And
oh.
They like came out together, like to each other like that. I thought that could be kind of cool. At one point, I was really afraid it was Martin, and I was like, oh no, I don't know if I want him to be redeemed in that way. And like you were saying, Marima, I'm kind of glad that he wasn't, because what he did was really horrible, and I think that it's good that Simon didn't forgive him right away, and by the end of the book, he still doesn't forgive him. So, yeah, and then I was wondering, okay, is it going to be like one of the really popular characters? And that's what made me keep going through the book as fast as I did. I mean, I read like 250 pages in a single day, pretty much the entire
Woo,
book.
Karen.
Yeah. Yeah. and it's because I had no idea who it was. I had a lot of different guesses, but it was really hard to pinpoint it down. So when it was finally revealed, I was like, ah, okay, that does make sense. And it was there for a while, but it was still a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I think it was a good balance. Oh, I think maybe also, like, I read this in one sitting, and I read it in, like, I don't know, 2 hours or something. So I was like, I must finish this book immediately. It's like I didn't have a lot of time for reflection while reading. And then afterwards I was like, everyone I know needs to read this book, and then I need to read it, like, 20 more times. And that's exactly what's happened. So go, Marima. Anyway, what were we talking about? Self-praise, what? Something
yeah,
else?
Yeah, uh-huh. Moving on to characters in the story. So we've talked about a lot of them a little bit already. We've touched on them. I mean, of course, there's Simon, who, again, I just love his voice. Reading the book, you know, from his point of view and seeing who he is as a character through his family. And I think that's the other thing, and I meant to jot that down on here. Simon's family is amazing. Like, this family is very... It's very interesting because I don't think we see a lot of, young adult novels where families are still together, where they're still nuclear. It's always usually, you know, someone's died or your parents are divorced, or that's always like usually the starting point for what, you know, the angst or whatever it is within the story. So the fact that you have a family together, he's got his two sisters and they're all pretty normal, is not the norm, I think, in YA literature. So I think that that was another really strong aspect of the book, is how family is portrayed within the story for all the different characters. Because each character has a different family kind of background and setting. So I think it's really interesting to see kind of that, how that shapes up too. So we have Simon and his family who, when they're together, it's really funny. Like, his mom is a psychologist and is, I don't know if it ever said what his dad does, but his dad's kind of this big jokester, always trying to be the cool dad, making the really silly jokes. And
I think he was a lawyer.
Now that you mention it, that sounds correct. And they have all these really quirky game things that they do. Like, on Christmas Day, they were playing a scavenger hunt on Facebook, which is hysterical to me.
That's such a cool idea. I want to do that.
I just thought it was really funny. And it was just an enjoyable, like, it's a normal family moment kind of thing. So, I don't know. I really liked the family. And like I said, I really like Simon's voice. Because, again, it didn't get too caricature. It was kind of just a teenager, like, going through his stuff. Like, this is what he's got going on, and this is who he is. And I really liked that aspect of it. Then we also have Simon's best friends, who are Nick and Leah, have been his best friends for, like, ever. And then Abby, who's also kind of in their group and their friend, is newer. And she just moved there from D.C. And her family's kind of interesting because it sounds like her mom lives with her dad in Georgia, but her dad's still in D.C. trying to find work. And so their family's kind of split, which is really interesting as well. So what did you guys think about that set of characters? I guess Nick is kind of the cool kid who can't really, I don't know. I think Nick is kind of interesting too, in that you don't always know what's going on with him. There's not a lot about Nick, I guess. He felt a little bit mysterious. So I don't know. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I had a little bit of trouble getting into Nick's head. I didn't really know who he liked exactly at first. Like, I thought him and Leah were going to get together, and then it ended up being Abby. And yeah, I was happy with that. I felt bad for Leah, but you know, not everything can have a happy ending. And so I'm sort of glad that, although there was maybe a hint of possibility at the end of the book with Leah, it was kind of nice to kind of leave her story hanging a little bit. But I thought they were really cool, and I really liked Abby. I guess I'm sort of like everybody else, is they were just obsessed with Abby, but I thought she was a really cool character, especially the reason why Simon decided to come out to her first instead of Nick and Leah, because it's so true. Like, sometimes you don't want to tell your very, very best friend something because they know you so well and it'll just change their entire perspective. Whereas, you know, maybe you have a new friend and it's like, I can tell this person because they haven't built up all these like expectations of me yet. And so even though I was sad for Leah and, you know, you could tell that it really hurt her feelings, I completely understand why Simon decided to tell Abby that he was gay before he told Nick and Leah.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think also Albertelli makes it like understandable why Leah is upset about that as well. Like, you can see both sides of that. I really liked Abby. I liked Nick. I agree. He was kind of a little quieter. So was Leah in a way. But they kind of made sense as a little group. And you got a real sense of like history from the three of them together. And then, you know, Abby obviously changed that dynamic. Just going back to like, I mean, can we talk about Simon for a second? I feel like we skipped him because
sure.
I loved Simon.
And I feel like thought he was everything like, we've talked about has been about him. So, I wasn't sure what was left to cover, but go for it.
Oh, well, I guess in terms of like him in the context of his family, I found really interesting because, like you said, they were this weird, like kind of really funny but quirky family. But the dynamics in his family were really interesting, like with the older sister going away and like, you know, obviously things are changing with her, and then the younger sister who's like obviously things are changing with her. And you know, Simon, as always, doesn't notice because, like, he's Simon and he's very, like, caught up in the own dramas of his own life. But the dynamic with his dad I thought was interesting as well. When, you know, his dad, like, makes these kinds of jokes and these comments, and even though he knows, like, they're going to be fine about it if he comes out, that still plays obviously like quite a large role in his decision to kind of put it off until he sort of can't put it off any longer. And yeah, what I found just really funny about his family was like this idea that they all feel like they're coming out about things all the time. Like the big sister doesn't want to tell them that she has a boyfriend because like the parents are going to Facebook stalk him. Like look him up, like they looked at Simon's girlfriends in the yearbook, and you know, as soon as she tells Simon, Simon's like, is he on Facebook? Like, and he starts looking her up right now, and she's like, this is why I don't tell you anything. And the day that Simon comes out to his parents, I think his mom like freaks out because he's drinking coffee, and Simon's like, well, if she's this excited about coffee, like this is going to be an interesting day.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, you know, it goes into what Karen was saying about Abby, but obviously like your family often have the most entrenched view of who you are and what you're like. And I would see Nick and Leah as kind of an extension of Simon's family in a way, because like he's known them for so long and you know, there's a lot of history there, and that means that, you know, obviously like more tension in a way when it comes to like maybe big announcements and things, but it's also kind of more satisfying than maybe it was with Abby, like when he can actually talk about it. And I like Nick's response because he was just like, oh, like, all right, fine, like, are we having ice cream, like what's happening? And everyone's like, what's wrong with you? Like he just came out to us, like, don't you have anything to say? And he's like, no, should I, like, what's happening now? And yeah, I don't know, I just appreciate it. I think this book really got the relationships between different characters down so well. All the like kind of minutiae of the different relationships, and maybe like Simon's friendship with Leah is the best evidence of that, because he talks about how he often feels like he misses the subtext of their conversations, and then she gets like mad at him for it and he can't work out why. And yeah, I think even though we don't even see them spend that much time together in a way, because he's kind of so consumed with this thing with Blue, but like in the little bits that we see, you can see what their friendship is like, you know, outside of the page in a way. And I think that is the same with all of the characters, but particularly with Simon and with Nick and with Leah.
Very true. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, who should we talk about? So what do you guys think of Bram? I mean, we've, you know, he is Blue. And we don't get a ton of information on him. We see him in glimpses always with the group. And then, of course, towards the end, we get to see more of him on his own. So what do you guys think about that?
I thought Bram was adorable. I really liked him in the emails because he was clever, he was smart, he was funny. But once we actually got to meet him, I thought it was really cute, the two of them together. And I liked that he was very, very hesitant at first about, you know, kind of making himself known to Simon. And yet he sort of couldn't help himself. Like, he gave him the t-shirt and all this other stuff. And you could tell that he really cared about him. He was just nervous. And then when they finally did meet up, it was sort of like, okay, what are we doing? You know? And Bram was like, whatever you want to do, I'm in it. And, you know, they decided to just go all out. And I thought that was really great. I think that was what I said on Twitter was that you finish the book and you're just kind of like stupid grinning, because it's just a really cute ending and it was so satisfying. And I think Bram's personality had a lot to do with that, because just the two of them together were so adorable.
Yeah, Bram is super sweet. And even though they are very different, like he's obviously a lot shyer than Simon, everyone is shyer than Simon, and I would say a little more considered with his thoughts and his words. They make sense. Like, by the end of it, even though you haven't spent that much time with Bram and Simon, you've been spending it with Blue and Simon. You see how they fit, and like, you see how it makes sense, even though at first glance you might be like, that is weird. That is like a weird combination of people. This like theater guy and this like sporty guy, and you know, they have like very different life experiences and etc. But yeah, Bram was like so sweet and so cute, and when he takes him on the date and he buys all the Oreo things, and you're just like, stop it, you're just adorable. He's so cute. He's like, and I, you know what, I really liked his friendship with and I can't remember his
Garrett.
Name now. Garrett?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like little bromance. I thought that was fun too. And like, Garrett obviously knows, like, you know, obviously at the end he's like, okay, like, you two, what's going on? But he's so funny about it. And yeah, I thought like they were sweet as well. Everyone's just so cute in this. And you needed a happy ending, because like, otherwise the whole way through you're like, oh, this is so stressful. Like, yeah. Why isn't everyone happy?
Yeah.
I was so afraid that, one, we weren't going to find out who Blue was, that it was going to be this sort of like mysterious ending, or that it was going to be Martin and Simon was going to like hate him, and then the whole book would be ruined. I would have thrown it across the room and I would have disowned you, Marima. But I'm really glad that it turned out fine.
Oh, I can't believe you would think that I would recommend a book like that. That would be like the How I Met Your Mother of books, which you just pretend doesn't exist. Like, that's terrible.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. I'm sorry. That's the best description ever. So from now on, our category is going to be the How I Met Your Mother of books. Don't read it. love it. So yeah, I really liked Bram. I liked that he was very reserved about everything. I think it was a nice balance to Simon, and I think it just kind of added more to his character in a lot of ways, because not everyone's going to be, you know, out there with everything. And I liked that Bram wasn't. He was quiet, and he was a soccer player, and he was always in that circle of friends, and Simon never once really thought about it. Do you know what I mean? Until he did. And I really liked the way that played out for itself. And I love that he bought him the t-shirt. And like, and until Simon the idiot to like check the t-shirt, like for weeks he had his number and everything, where he could have called him or texted him, and he totally
didn't. Oh my god.
Yeah. I was like, oh, silly boy. Although granted, I don't think I would have checked the inside of a t-shirt for, you know, a number, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's a weird place.
It is a weird place, but I still liked that element of it a lot. Like, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. So. Suspense.
Yeah, yeah, no. And I really did like Bram as a character. And I liked him more when we got to see more of him, when he was directly speaking with Simon, like, not just through email. And I loved it. I really did. So. All right, Marima, you just wrote gender and race, so why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that? Because I don't know what you want me to say.
I feel like, you know, we talked about at the top how the author has worked as part of a support group, and the support group was for gender non-conforming teenagers. And another, like, really, really great aspect of this book, I thought, was that it kind of covers a whole spectrum of LGBTQI like identities and you know, people who how am I going to say this without, I'm trying not to be like super offensive. I feel like we read a lot of books, and you know, we talk about a lot of books on Book Hype, and often when we talk about books that like maybe have like a gay relationship or a lesbian relationship, occasionally bisexual, and that's often it. And that's because that's often what young adult fiction mainly offers. Not to say that there aren't like notable exceptions, but for me, what I really liked about this book was, in addition to literally everything else, the fact that, you know, yes, like the main relationship was a gay relationship, but everyone in the book kind of has their own way of expressing, like Leah, for example, who on the like cross-dressing day, she goes like super feminine because, you know, she doesn't identify like that usually. And just little touches like that, that I thought was so interesting and like so really necessary. And I felt bad that I hadn't really thought about that before I read this, that like if we're reading, say, Will Grace and Will Grayson, like just to pick another online romance book, you know, you have like the gay couple and like that's it kind of, you know, like you have like the one token relationship anyway, and not that it was token in that like it was a focus, but yeah, I feel like what I really liked about this was everyone had like a different way of expressing their like gender or their way that they identify with, you know, society and et cetera, and in a kind of like fluid way, which matched the fact that they were like teenagers as well. I don't know if you guys like noticed that or if that was like super obvious to you or whatever, but I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I really like that too. And the part that stuck out to me even more than that was the race, because, you know, especially when they said, why is white the default? And it's true, it is. And I think that's so sad. And the fact that in the end, Bran wasn't white, and it kind of opened even Simon's eyes, who had been struggling with this whole, like, the Homo sapiens agenda thing, you know, about, like, why do I have to come out? Why doesn't everybody else have to come out? And then in the end, he kind of learns that lesson himself, because he always pictured blue as white. And I thought, you know, it's good when your main character not only teaches you, the reader, something, but also learns something in the process. And yeah, I think this book did a lot of great things really subtly, which is why I want to read it again, not only because it was just fantastic, but because there are a lot of nuances to the characters and to the storyline in general.
Yeah, and the race thing also, I think we see it with Abby, like when he goes, realizes like how far Abby has to go to get to school, and they talk about how the town is like weirdly segregated, but like no one seems to talk about it. And like you said, just like very nuanced, very subtle, and it never felt like it was a message book in a way. Like it didn't feel like here's the PSA of like, here's what you're learning today from this. But it just felt like so representative of like different experiences, both like good and bad, and you know, that kind of tied in with like Simon's story as well, because it was set in like a relatively conservative part of America, and you know, we just to like wildly generalize, I would say we often have these kinds of stories set maybe in California or like maybe in New York, where some of these issues are not so prevalent because, you know, maybe it's a little more acceptable or like a little more visible in those societies, and I think like gender and race kind of both tie into that, and so it was an interesting background for her to like set these issues up against, but you never felt like she was hitting you over the head with it or anything. It was just like a natural, organic part of the construction of the characters and the construction of the place and setting and story.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a whole lot of the charm and the appeal of the book, is that everything is so seamless. You don't necessarily feel like you're reading like a story. It's almost like you're learning about a friend or something. I know that sounds like a really weird thing to say, but it feels like that's a life that's been lived, and that you could walk into any high school and maybe see that life being lived with all of the cast of characters around them in some sense. Like, I keep going back to the characters feel exceptionally real. It doesn't feel like a sketch or a caricature. And that, I think, is part of the beauty of the book, is that it is very realistic in how everything is portrayed and how everything kind of works together. And I don't know how to better explain it, except that it's a really great book. So we're going to go with that.
Yeah, I think that sums it up very well. And it's funny because when I interviewed her, I asked her, because I, like, we keep talking about them, but you know, I think we all agree that the secondary characters, secondary as in not Simon, were all very well drawn. And I'm always curious with authors if they are like, you know, I would call it like the J.K. Rowling level, where they know like everything about the character, even if it's not on the page, versus like the John Green level of that like scale, where everything is on the page and that's it. Like the story ends there, the characters end there, there is nothing beyond that. And she was talking about like, yeah, I kind of know what's going on with them, and I think it's called headcanon. Like, it was really cute. She was like, yeah, I have like headcanons for my characters and stuff, and I was like, well, you're adorable. So yeah, I think it shows in the book that there's more going on with them kind of behind the scenes,
which is fantastic. So now she could just write their stories too. No.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time.
I mean, she kind of is. Like, this book was sold as part of a 2-book deal. And the next book is like in very early stages, I think. But it's going to be like a companion book. And it's going to be actually set before the events of Simon. And it's about the friends that Abby leaves behind in DC when she moves to Georgia. So like, Abby is going to be in that, and she said that Simon and Nick will get some shout outs, but I guess, you know, Blue won't be, or Bram isn't really on the scene yet then. So unfortunately, we won't see more of their adorable romance, but we all love Abby, so that's good news.
Yeah, I think that'll be really cool to see what her life like was like in DC versus Georgia. So that'll be really cool. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some feedback from our listeners, because many of you have read the book and have been sending lots of tweets our way. So from Leah, it says, I was up way too late last night because I couldn't stop reading Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. Can't wait to see what at book hype's thoughts. Well, you have our thoughts. It's amazing. So get your friends to read it too. And then Adriana says, at Marima White, I read Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. I smiled like a fool and developed an unhealthy craving for Oreos. Thanks, Marima. That's awesome.
Well, you're welcome. Just like the world. Because I've been talking about this book nonstop for like months now. Yes, so I'm glad it's finally paying off that people are like going to buy it now that it's in stores and actually enjoying it.
Yes, it's fantastic. All right, and here's some other feedback. It says, I think at Book Hype just sold me on Hold Me Closer, the Tiny Cooper story, and I didn't even like Will Grayson. That's all Brittany, all of it. That's really funny. And then the last one is, I read The Red Queen. The Red Queen is so good, I can't put it down. Thank you for feeding my book addiction. You're very welcome, because we really like The Red Queen. So just to kind of wrap up, for next month, for the month of May, we are doing our book club book will be An Ember in the Ashes by Sabaa Tahir. And that comes out at the end of this month. So around April 28th, I think it is. So keep an eye out for that one. It's another really interesting book. Nothing like Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. Not going to lie. Completely different. Kind of like high fantasy different. And then for June, I know, we're gonna switch.
I'm gonna read Simon in protest for every book discussion we do from now until forever. I'm just gonna review this book, like, no matter what you're talking about.
Okay, great.
Well, how many times do you think I could do that before the joke gets old?
All right. And Karen will be choosing June's book club book. I'm sure she's super excited about that, but she's got, you know, some planning time, so we should be good.
Yes.
All right. So, again, you guys have heard how much we love Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. So please make sure you've read it. If you haven't, if you've listened this far in the podcast and you haven't read it, then, well, you're kind of spoiled, but read it anyway, because it's really good. And until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Marima.
Bye, guys.
Bye.